This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Arvind Devraj.
And we are asking you, would salary transparency help or hurt your motivation at work? We have two polls running on Instagram and on Twitter. Arvind, what's the poll looking like on Twitter?
Almost half enough. So it's help 52%, hurt 48%.
That's about the same on Instagram. We've got 55% of them saying it helps. There's 45% of them saying it hurts. Do we have any responses on Twitter?
Yeah, so Charles Brick says, yes, because bosses do have favoritism. Staff are motivated to actually know how much increment top workers gain. I think, again, if you're in a big, big company, you don't want to know how much the top workers gain, because you'd be like, are you joking? At the end of the year. So yeah, it depends how much you want. Sometimes you just want to be like oblivious, you know, like ignorance is bliss.
Actually, you know, when I was looking at the Google spreadsheet that has been shared around in the US on, you know, people who work in the news and media organizations, and I was looking at, you know, some of the salary, I actually thought it was annual salary until I read it again and I realized, no, this is monthly salary, because that's just, and
like, you don't even want to see their
ridiculous.
Bonus. Their bonus is just don't laugh. You know?
On WhatsApp, 9311 says, I think overall salary transparency will help employees, while motivation effect is kind of dependent on the person themselves. In addition to the point on salary some employment letters and HR policy will actually state the salary is P&C and you're not allowed to disclose them. It seems to be a norm, but is it legal? That's like a question mark. So that's interesting. And in the US, I'm not sure if it's still illegal in the US or still legal in the US, but if you look at the National Labor Relations Act of 1935 in the US, it is illegal for employees to retaliate against their workers for discussing wages with their colleagues under this National Labor Relations Act of 1935.
So it's not allowed.
It's not allowed. But the penalties for the rule breakers, they're a little bit weak. But I'm not sure about Malaysia. But I've seen some employment letters that have said that, you know, you are not allowed to disclose your salary with other colleagues.
I think most companies do that. It's completely PNC.
Completely PNC. We've got one more on Maggie Bess on WhatsApp says, a supervisor and or employer who knows how to set accurate job descriptions and have an uniform yardstick to measure staff performance, salary transparency is not necessary. Such type of supervisor and employer is usually also a fair and deals with above board with their staff. They would also be usually the type of leaders who would give feedback to their low performing staff on their staff's future and improvement for rewards to commensurate with the job scope and also the performance themselves. So yeah, I guess, you know, if you won't have this issue if there is like a dissatisfaction within the office itself, right? And when you have a bigger dissatisfaction, and then, you know, these kind of things appear. And the reason why this Google spreadsheet came about was because of the whole gender pay gap itself, you know, where, you know, maybe women are getting paid less than men, or, you know, people with color are getting paid less than people with different color, or, you know, people with, I guess, different gender are getting paid, or, you know, with you know, that's a pay gap, right? Yeah. So that's where, you know, salary transparency can help to close. It's not really about comparing how much I'm worth in the office compared to how much you're worth in the office itself. Anyways, let's talk about jobs, still sticking with jobs. But you may not soon have a job because AI will take over.
Especially if you have like a double master's degree or something, you know, if you are more...
So now it's climbing up the ranks.
It's climbing up the ranks. Okay. So normally when we talk about AI, we focus on blue collar and frontline service workers, you know, people in like lower income groups or with slightly lower education, because routine tasks or like rote tasks are most at risk of being taken over by machines that can perform the same tasks with more efficiency. So that's the most vulnerable group, the ones who keep doing the same thing over and over every day. But a new study from Brookings says that white-collar, well-paid professionals will also be badly affected by automation and AI. And actually, it says that they might be more affected than the blue-collar ones, because the way they came up with this conclusion is quite technical. There's a lot of like technical jargon, but basically, this guy named Michael Webb, he built an algorithm to compare language to 16,400 AI patterns with specific words to describe 769 jobs in the government's official database called ONET. What he found is, if there's a lot of overlap in the two databases, that means the two keywords overlap with ONET and the algorithm, it means that the job will be heavily impacted by AI. What he found out is that most of the keywords come from higher up or professional jobs, or jobs that people with like a bigger degree or like more education or higher paid would have. So it also found that 25 million workers in the US will be impacted the most by AI. That's 15% of America's labor force. And the most affected jobs are sales managers, computer programmers, and personal financial advisors. Employees with bachelor's degrees are 7 times more exposed to AI than those with just a high school diploma. And this might also sound a bit racist, like in a more of an American context, but according to the study, Asian American and white workers might be affected more than Hispanics or African Americans. So it basically found out that it's not just the people who are, you know, working in the factories or working in the factory lines on, you know, basically conveyor belt jobs.
Yeah.
It's also the ones sitting as professionals in the offices, the C-suite guys. They also will be affected because the AI was able to find routines in their jobs as well. So it's not just, it basically means that overall the 25 million who will be affected are also the ones who spend many, many, many years in college.
And it's interesting because also some of the jobs that you mentioned, it's not just jobs that are, you know, I guess it runs day to day. It's the similar jobs. Every day you do the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Some of the jobs that you mentioned, like sales manager, for example, that, you know, changes on a day-to-day aspect that, you know, and that requires a lot of, I guess, human empathy and I guess, you know, our nature of being human beings to be able to adapt to different scenarios. But I guess AI will soon be an expert in that area too.
Yeah, it actually says the biggest obstacle for automation and AI is the human touch, quote unquote. So there's an interview with Anthony De Lima. He is the head of digital transformation at a company called Neoris in the Netherlands. So he implements something called the one-third rule. So a third of employees affected by automation are being moved to other functions. He finds something else for them to do, how quickly they can adapt. Another third are being trained to work safely and efficiently alongside new machines or to learn from the machines. So they learn or they try to pick up the speed from the machines and they work side by side to help one another. And the last third have to be let go, which is the sad part, because he says that the transformation is either too fast to learn or the skills are too complex. So these employees cannot cope, and that's the third that he lets go. The other third he keeps. The more interesting case study is from a company called Ensure, which is an insurance company. It uses AI to find the cheapest quotes and the best plans for customers. The problem is they found that 5 to 10% of their customers said they wanted to talk to an actual person, not a bot, in return. So when they submitted their forms, or they subscribe to the plan, they wanted to get a callback from a human person. They didn't want to talk to like a bot or like a robot or like a chat system or whatever. So the company hired 3 agents to be the only human employees.
Wow.
So when they found out what this demographic was, or the people that want to get the callback, these 3 agents would call them and speak to them, not the robot.
I don't know why, but when you were mentioning about that, it just reminds me of Michael Scott in The Office. When he tries to speak like a robot to, you know, a potential customer. Didn't turn out to be very well.
Yeah, Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah. Anyways, we're asking you about salary transparency. Would it help or would it hurt your motivation at work? We have a poll running on Instagram. We have a poll running on Twitter as well. So get in touch with us and then we will give you the results right after this on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.